Say, it's time for...
All Sweet.
Did you hear what the lady said?
I said, All Sweet. All Sweet is the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Yes, friends, that's what all the ladies are saying. All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor. Swift All Sweet Margarine invites you to meet the neat. It's a lovely morning in Civic Center, and right now, two of Civic Center's loveliest young ladies are meeting in the corridor of the local high school.
Hey, Peggy! Here I am! Over here by your locker!
Oh, aren't you?
I couldn't see you over the heads of the crowd. Why don't you wear high heels?
I got weak ankles, and I don't look good in a cast. And, speaking of a cast, brings me to my point.
What point?
Peggy, why aren't you playing Juliet in the school play?
Didn't Dr. Furnish ask you to?
Yes, but Harold made me promise not to be in it.
Why did he do that?
Well, because if I were in the play, Harold and I wouldn't even see each other for 3 weeks. On account of I'd be tied up in rehearsals all the time.
But you wouldn't be separated if Harold was in the play, too, if he was Romeo.
But Harold can't ask you.
Can't, huh?
Come, Peggy. Come walk with me to the assembly hall.
Of course, I might have coached him in the part, and I offered to,
but he refused.
So on account of Harold, you as good as handed the part over to Caroline Burr.
Sure, but I don't care.
And as good as handed something else over to her, too.
Well, what do you mean, Bill?
Peggy, don't you ever worry about Caroline Burr turning Harold's head?
Oh, sure, but he'd always turn it back to me.
Oh, I wish you weren't so fond of that boy.
But Harold...
Men are drips, Peggy.
Oh, not Harold.
Oh, no, not Harold.
Why are you stopping here at the auditorium?
Because he's in there rehearsing Romeo and Juliet.
Harold?
Harold.
Oh, Jill, he is not.
I saw him with my own eyes.
Jill, you did not.
Whose eyes did I see him with then?
Well, your glasses are dirty.
Not that dirty. Take a look.
See how she leans her cheek upon her hand? Oh, that I were a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek.
Dirty glasses, huh?
But that's Harold. And did you see who he's rehearsing with? Caroline Burr.
Oh, Harold, how could you do this to me? So that's why he wanted me out of the part, so Caroline would be Juliet to his Romeo.
The drip.
And I didn't even know he could act.
Never take your eyes off a man for a minute, Peggy. Keep him on a leash.
Oh, Jill, what do I do? You know what it'll mean if Harold and Caroline get cast in the play together.
Only too well.
Losing forever. Losing to that head-to-head homewrecker with the painted fingernails.
Those aren't fingernails, Peggy. Those are fish hooks.
Oh, Jill, what'll I do?
Go after the part of Juliet yourself.
No. I promised Harold I wouldn't, and I at least will keep my word.
Then stop Harold from playing Romeo.
How, Jill?
Well, you could... Oh, look what's coming down the hall. Chester Chadwick.
The drip.
Hey, Peggy.
Oh, I don't want to talk to him now.
Oh, here's an open locker. Let's jump in and slam the door.
Peggy.
Too late.
Drip.
Peggy, I thought you were going to play the part of Juliet.
No, Chester, I turned it down.
She turned it down.
Oh, gosh, with you out of the running, Carolyn Burr's a cinch to get the part. She's bragging about it already.
So what? Let her have it.
You sure would have been a wonderful Juliet.
She sure would. Chester, who's going to play Romeo? Do you know?
No. Dr. Furnish hasn't finished the auditions yet, and Carolyn Burr told me she wants Harold Harbinger to play opposite her.
Oh, she does she?
And Carolyn Burr usually gets what she wants.
So I gathered. Listen, Chester, why don't you go out for the part of Romeo?
Who? Me?
Sure, you'd make a wonderful Romeo.
You really think so, Peg?
Of course you would.
Oh, but golly, Peg, I'd rather let Harold play it. If he gets tied up in rehearsals, maybe I'd be able to see you once in a while.
Oh, that wouldn't matter, Chester. We're sort of broken up anyhow.
You are?
Well, why don't you do it, Chester, huh? Oh, I'd sure admire you if you could.
But I don't know if I can act.
I'd help you.
I'd have to wear tights.
Oh, you'd look swell in tights.
But the assembly hall is so drafty and I catch cold.
You'd be terrific in the dueling scene.
I would.
And Chester, I'd coach you on the part every day.
You would?
Sure. Why don't you come over to my house tonight and we'll practice?
Tonight? Oh, God.
What do you say, Chester?
Oh, sure. I will. I'll do anything for you, Peggy.
Okay. Go right down to Dr. Furnish's office and tell him now, Chester. Oh, now.
Okay, Peggy. I'll be at your house tonight after dinner.
That's right, Chester.
Well, that's that. That was an Academy Award performance if I ever saw one.
Jill, Harold Harbinger is not going to get that part.
But, Peggy, do you know what you're leading yourself in for? Chester Chadwick. Are you being fair to yourself?
All fair in love and war.
And Jill, this is war.
for the pumpkin pie. And with that familiar and gladsome cry, we welcome in the month of November. The month when folks will again be thinking of turkey and cranberries, donuts and cider, plum pudding and hard sauce. Traditional foods that have come down to us from generation to generation, dating originally from colonial times. And you know, millions of women who've used it enthusiastically agree that all sweet margarine just naturally belongs in this picture of American good eating. All Sweet is truly an all-American product from our rich farmland. All Sweet is at its most delicious best, spread generously on hot bread or used with vegetables, but it can be just as important in all your cooking and baking. Yes, All Sweet adds a delicacy and richness you must have in old-time favorites. So for real old-fashioned American eating, get the margarine that pleases all America. Get All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Say, Agatha.
Yes, Mortimer?
Have you seen that book I was reading last night?
It's in the library, Mortimer.
Oh, thank you, dear. I'll go get it. I want to finish it.
Oh, wait a minute, dear.
Yeah?
You can't go in the library now.
What?
Peggy's rehearsing Romeo and Juliet in there.
What? Rehearsing?
With Chester Chadwick. I closed the double door so they wouldn't be disturbed.
Well, I thought Peggy decided not to try out for the play, dear.
Oh, that was several days ago, Mortimer. At Peggy's age, girls change their minds every hour on the hour.
And when they grow up, every half hour on the half hour.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Mortimer.
Romeo and Juliet, huh? Agatha, did I ever tell you I played in Romeo and Juliet in college?
Yes, you did, Mortimer.
Yes, Cherie played the leading part.
I know.
Mm-hmm. We were only supposed to play for one night, and we were so good, we had to do it twice.
You told me, Mortimer.
Packed them in the aisle, standing room only.
I know, dear.
And the critic on the college paper just raved about it.
Answer the front door, will you, Mortimer?
Called it the greatest performance of the year.
The door, Mortimer.
And he said it...
What? Answer the front door.
Oh, yes. Now, of course, it was the only performance he'd seen that year, but in his own words, here's what he said about the leading part.
Hail, Mr. Meek.
Yes, that's exactly what he said. Hail, Mr. Meek. Hey, come in, Carol.
Thank you, sir. What, who said?
What the critic said.
What critic? Hello, Mrs. Meek.
Hello, Harold.
The critic of my college paper.
Oh, is Peggy home?
Yes, she is, Harold, but I'm afraid you can't see her. She left word she wasn't to be disturbed.
What do you mean? Where is she?
Sealed in the tomb of the Capulets.
Where?
In the library, rehearsing Romeo and Juliet.
Doing what?
With Chester Chadwick.
I don't believe it.
Harold, did I ever tell you I played in Romeo and Juliet in college?
I don't believe it.
Well, I did.
I assure you he did, Harold.
I don't mean him. I mean Peggy. She just couldn't be doing a thing like that.
Come here, Harold. I will open the tomb a little and thou can't see for thyself.
Romeo, just thou love me. I know thou wilt say I.
Lady, by yonder blessed moon, I swear. Oh, I swear.
Here you are, my boy.
I've been double-crossed.
Harold, would you excuse me?
I've been kicked in the face.
I've some work to do in the kitchen.
I've been stabbed in the back.
I hate to leave you in that condition, Harold, but I have some dishes waiting. Mortimer, if Harold needs it, there's some adhesive tape and a new roll of bandage in the medicine chest.
I need it, all right.
Harold, what's the matter with you?
Mr. McPiggy promised me she wouldn't be in the school play, because what with rehearsals and all, we wouldn't see each other for 3 weeks. What a double cross.
Oh, now, Harold, I don't think Peggy would do a thing like that to you.
And with Chester Chadwick, of all people.
Well, now, I'm sure this is strictly an artistic enterprise, not an affair of the heart.
No. Did you hear the way she was reading those lines?
Well, they're only pretending. They don't mean the things they say.
3 weeks of reading that stuff, and they won't know if they mean it or not. Gosh, Mr. Meek, I'm sunk.
Well, look, Harold. Why don't you play the part of Romeo?
Golly, I can't act, Mr. Meek.
How do you know?
You should have heard me this afternoon. Caroline Burr high-pressured me into reading with her, you know, just to help her memorize her lines.
Oh?
It was terrible. I put earmuffs on so I couldn't hear myself. I told Caroline she'd have to get someone else to help her from now on.
Oh.
Of course, with Peggy going out for the part, Caroline won't need any help. Peggy will take it away from her for sure.
Oh, gosh, Harold, I'm awfully sorry.
That's all right, Mr. Meek. Well, see you later.
I wish I could help.
Thanks, Mr. Meek, but Seth McGare. Good night.
Oh, the poor kid. Now, say, I bet I can help with that. The Agatha.
What is it, Mortimer?
Get my hat and coat, will you, dear? I'm going over to Dr. Furmish's.
What for?
Well, I'm going to try to get Harold into the part of Romeo.
Now, Mortimer.
I've got to. I won't stand by and see Harold and Peggy broken up this way. Now, after all, they're a real Romeo and Juliet.
Mortimer, you mustn't interfere in
that. I'll tell Dr. Furmish that Harold is my protege, and I'll offer to coach him in the part. Yes, that ought to carry some weight. After all, I starred in Romeo and Juliet in college, didn't I?
I was beginning to gather that impression.
And I was terrific in the part, too.
Of course you were, Mortimer. You must have been a magnificent Romeo.
I never said I played Romeo, Agatha. It was an all-male production by the Interfraternity Club. I played Juliet. Oh, Dr. Burmish. I'm Mortimer Meek. Remember me?
Of course. How could I forget? You have a daughter?
Peggy.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, Peggy.
You came to see me about her?
Well, no, not exactly, Doctor. You see, I came to see you on my own account.
Oh?
Yes. It's about the casting of your school play, Romeo and Juliet.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Meek, but the casting is limited to members of the English class. class. I'm afraid you won't do.
Well, I didn't come to see you by myself, Dr. Furbish, but I think you're missing an awfully good bet in my protege.
Your protege?
The cleverest little thespian in Civic Center.
Your protege, you said?
Yes, Doctor, yes. I starred in Romeo and Juliet at State University.
State University?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what a coincidence.
So did I. Yes, it was our annual interfraternity show.
But I was in that show, too. Don't tell me you were...
Doctor, you couldn't be Juliet Romeo.
Well, I didn't recognize you without your wig.
Yes, but... wait a minute. The man who played Romeo opposite me was named Desmond Taylor.
My stage name.
Oh.
But I can't believe you're the man.
I listen to this, Doctor. Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
That's it.
Deny thy father and refuse thy name.
Capital.
And
if thou wilt not
be but torn, my love,
and I'll no longer be a captive.
Continue. Get up on your balcony.
Balcony?
This end table. Get up on it, man. Just step on the chair.
Wait, is it all right to step on this chair?
Certainly, at the furnished house. Go ahead, man. Roll out those lovely lines.
Okay. It seems a little shaky.
Continue. Tis but thy name that is my enemy.
Yes.
What's in a name? That which
we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
How comest thou hither, and tell me wherefore?
I think this table is pretty fair.
The orchard walls are high and hard to climb. Roll it out, man. That's your cue.
No, it's yours.
It is?
Yes. With love's light wings did I o'erpart these walls.
Oh, yes.
With love's light wings did I o'erpart these walls.
Oh, are you all right?
Oh.
Juliet! I need Mr. Meek. Speak to me.
Where am I?
Love's light wings didn't quite carry you o'er the walls.
Uh-huh.
You fell off your balcony, Juliet.
Eh? Oh, yes. Oh, Juliet. Oh, yes.
Well, now I remember. Say, did I tell you about my protege?
Oh, what a marvelous performance you gave that year.
Yeah, but my protege, Doctor. The reason I came
I know, you, my dear fellow artist. I know all about your protege.
Well, I wasn't sure. I told you. My head is spinning so quickly.
Rest assured, I know just whom you mean. And on your recommendation, the part will be awarded to that very person.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Fremish. And I hope you don't think I was presumptuous.
Not at all. You did it all for the sake of art.
Well, no, Dr. Furmish. I'd say I did it for the sake of Dan.
Dan?
Young Dan Cupid.
A fine Cupid you made, Mortimer. With a bump on your head as big as an egg.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you've learned your lesson.
Oh, I have, dear. I have. I'll never interfere in Peggy's affairs again. But just this once didn't hurt much. After all, it came out beautifully. Tomorrow morning, Harold and Peggy will be cooing again like two lovebirds.
I hope you're right, Mortimer.
You wait and see. Peggy! I want to talk to you.
I have nothing to say to you, Harold Harbinger.
You don't have to say anything. Just listen.
I won't listen.
Oh, yes, you will. I never thought I'd live to see the day when Peggy Meek would become a chiseling quizzling.
Look who's talking about quizzling.
First you promised me you're not going to try it for the part of Dewey. And not 24 hours later, you're rehearsing love scenes with Chester Chadwick in your own home.
Then what were you doing with Caroline Burr in the assembly hall yesterday? Carrying on a debate?
What?
Or were you just carrying on?
Peggy, what are you talking about?
I suppose you didn't talk me into giving up the part so Caroline Burr could have it.
No, I didn't.
And so you could play Romeo opposite her.
No, I didn't.
Don't shout.
No, I didn't. Caroline Burr's uncle happens to be the man who employs me every summer. And when she asked me to read her cue so she can learn the part, what could I do?
You mean you were just reading her cue?
Of course that's all. I told her she wasn't very good and that the only reason she was getting the part was because you didn't want it.
Did you?
Of course, that was before I knew that you were going to double-cross me. with Chester Chadwick.
Oh, Harold, I never intended to play Juliet with Chester Chadwick.
You didn't?
No, I just thought you were, well, going to play Romeo to Caroline's Juliet, and I wanted to, well, put a stop to it.
You mean...
Uh-huh, that's what I mean.
Why, Peggy, you don't have to worry about me. I'm as solid as the rock at Gibraltar.
Are you, Harold?
Of course I am, Peggy.
Well, so am I.
And everything's all right, huh?
Of course it is, Harold.
Golly, let me carry your books, will you?
All right, Harold. Here.
Gosh, how could I have ever doubted you for a minute? Uh-oh, look who's coming.
Dr. Fermius.
What a drip.
What a pill.
Ah, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Fermius.
Well, well, well. Congratulations, Miss Meek.
On what, Dr. Fermius?
On your being awarded the part of Juliet in the school play.
What?
So you're your father's little protege, are you?
His little what?
What a magnificent actor he used to be. I want you to know that he and he alone is responsible for you getting the part.
What is this?
Oh, well, more anon. I'll expect you at my house at 8 o'clock tonight, Miss Meek, when we will have a first reading with your Romeo, Chester Chadwick.
Chester Chadwick?
Yes, he's the only boy who applied for the part. But he'll be all right with my guidance, I'm sure. Goodbye, Miss Capulet. See you this evening at the stroke of 8.
Hello.
Oh, that's the deal.
Harold, I don't know what he was talking about.
Don't give me that, Peggy. You've just thrown me the curve of all time.
Now, listen, Harold.
I've heard enough. Go ahead, take the part. And take Chester Chadwick, too. But, and take your books.
But you don't have to throw them at me.
As solid as the rock at Gibraltar, huh? You mean your heart's as hard as the rock at Gibraltar, don't you?
Harold!
I'm going out of your life, Peggy. And don't send your father over to plead with me. Dr. Fermius may fall for that stuff, but not Harold Harbin.
Harold!
Goodbye, Peggy.
Oh, Daddy, how could you do a thing like this? Shakespeare? As far as I'm concerned, Shakespeare is nothing but a bust.
Scientists, and I don't mean the Dr. Fermish kind, tell us that taste is the most unpredictable of the five senses. So it's certainly gratifying to hear so many people everywhere praise the taste of all sweet margarine. Yes, when you find something that people everywhere agree on, you can just be sure that it's good. With AllSweet, it's the delicate, natural flavor. Flavor that comes from freshly cultured, pasteurized skim milk that wins so many friends. People like the taste of AllSweet, like its golden goodness spread on hot biscuits or rolls, on baked potatoes. And man, oh man, just wait till you taste hot vegetables covered with AllSweet. Yes, when you discover how its delicate, natural flavor adds distinction and richness to any and every meal, then AllSweet will be on your shopping list every week.
I can't stand it. I just want to die, that's all.
Oh, now, Peggy, calm down.
Daddy, do you know what you've done? You've ruined my life.
What? I've done what?
Why did you have to go and tell Dr. Fermius I wanted to be in the play?
Well, Peggy, I didn't tell Dr. Fermius any such thing.
Well, he said you did. He said you went to him and told him I was your protege.
Peggy, no, no.
Mortimer, is that true?
Oh, my gracious, no, dear. Dr. Fermius got it all mixed up. I didn't tell him that you were my protege. I told him Harold was. Or I think I did.
Mortimer, don't you remember?
Well, the floor came up and hit me on the head about that time.
Well, what did you want to tell him a thing like that for?
I wanted to get Harold in the play, that's why.
But I didn't want Harold in the play. I wanted him out of the play. That's why I was trying to get Chester in the play. Only I didn't have to get Harold out of the play because he wasn't in it in the first place.
You get him in the... What was that?
I told you, Mortimer, what would happen if you interfered in the children's affairs.
We are not children, Mother.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, how could Dr. Fermius get so mixed up?
It's his secret formula.
And now I have to be at Dr. Fermius's house at 8 o'clock to rehearse with Chester Chadwick. And I won't even see Harold again for 3 weeks.
Well, 3 weeks isn't forever.
Oh, it might as well be forever, Mother, with Caroline Burr around.
Well, now, Peggy, dear, why don't you just tell Dr. Fermius that you won't be in it? Give up the part. Drop out.
I did say it once, Daddy, and I know Dr. Fermius. He'd fuck me for sure if I did it again.
Peggy, I'm sure it isn't as bad as
yeah, well, wait a minute. I've got an idea. What if Dr. Fermius put you out of the play himself?
Mortimer?
What do you mean, Daddy?
Well, he wouldn't flunk you then, would he?
No, I don't suppose so.
Well, then you're as good as out right now.
Mortimer, remember what you said. Never again.
What time's rehearsal, dear?
8 o'clock.
Well, do you mind if I go along? I'm sure Dr. Fermius wouldn't mind. We're great friends now.
I don't suppose it matters, Daddy. The way things are right now, it can't make any difference.
Don't be too sure of that, Peggy. Things are never so bad, but they might be worse. And your daddy's just the man who can do it.
I wish you hadn't come here to my house, Jill. There's nothing you can do.
My mind is made up.
Listen, stupid, the whole thing was a mistake. Mr. Meek wasn't trying to get Peggy in the play. He was trying to get you in it. And Dr. Furmish misunderstood. Peggy doesn't want to be in that old play with Chester.
Well, she's stuck with him now.
Oh, why don't you get smart, stupid? Do you want to lose it to Chester?
Well, of course not.
Well, Peggy can't get out of the play, so why don't you get into it?
Me? How?
Easy. Dr. Furmish is going to coach Peggy first and then Chester. They're both at his house right now.
How do you know?
Because I just walked over there with Chester.
So what?
So this. You and I will wait outside Dr. Furnish's house until Peggy leaves, see?
Yeah.
Then you and I will go with him, see?
For what?
Because by that time, Furnish will be looking for a new Romeo.
How do you know?
Because on the way over here with Chester, I spiked his reading glasses out of his pocket and put mine in their place.
What do you do that for?
Because Chester can't read a thing without his glasses. He's nearsighted.
Well, he certainly can't read with yours. You're farsighted.
Now you got it!
Jill, you mean
that? Right. And you know how temperamental Dr. Furmish is.
Whoa, what are we waiting for? Let's go.
Wait a minute, Harold. You'll have to lead me by the hand. I can't see a thing without my glasses either.
Well, how did you get here from Dr. Furmish's?
My daddy was waiting for me there and drove me here. I arranged it.
Jill, you're a crook.
Harold, I'm a genius. Let's go.
All right, Miss Meek, let us try the scene again. And, Mr. Meek, will you please try not to interrupt, please?
Yeah, well, I'll try, but remember, Dr. Furmish, she must be perfect. The Meek must carry on the tradition, you know.
Very well. Go ahead, Miss Meek.
Good night. Good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow.
The stress, Miss Meek, should be on the word such. Such sweet sorrow.
No. I think the stress is on sweet, Dr. Furmish. Yes. Such sweet sorrow.
I bow to your experience, Mr. Meek. Such sweet sorrow.
Such sweet sorrow.
Come think of it.
Yes.
Now, the stress might be better on sorrow. Yes. Such sweet sorrow.
Very well. Such sweet sorrow.
Such sweet sorrow.
Or better still, on both such and sorrow.
No, I don't see that at all.
Why is Daddy's right, Doctor? Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Never mind. Take the next line, please.
I would say good night till it be morrow.
Until it be morrow.
Until it be morrow.
Nonsense. The word is till tomorrow.
Well, I always said until.
Shakespeare wrote till.
How do you know?
What?
Well, maybe it was a typographical error. I always said until tomorrow.
Good night. If we don't get on with this, it'll soon be tomorrow. Now, will you please start the scene again, Miss Meek, and let us all try to control ourselves?
I can't promise, but I'll try.
I am beginning to wonder, Miss Meek, if you were as good a Juliet as I once thought you were.
Dr. Furmish.
Dr. Furmish.
I'm sorry. I'm extremely sorry.
What's there?
Who is there? I'm sorry we woke you, Mr. Chadwick.
Oh, that's all right, sir.
We'll be ready to take your scene in 3 or 4 hours, if we're lucky. Miss Meek, let us try the scene again.
How long do we have to stand out here in the rain, Jill? Peggy and her dad left the house 10 minutes ago.
Well, Chester's reading now, Harold. I just want to give Dr. Furmish enough time to explode at Chester.
My feet are wet.
Why, Harold, you're in your bedroom slippers.
Well, you rushed me out so fast I forgot to change into my shoes.
Oh, Harold, look.
Please, Mrs. Chadwick, your excuse is enough.
I just don't know what happened.
Well, I know what happened. I've just heard the worst acting of my life. Believe me, Mr. Chadwick, if there were one other applicant for the part, I'd seriously consider replacing you.
I was able to read with those glasses before.
Well, try to do better tomorrow, my boy. Good night.
Get back here, Harold, so Chester won't see us.
My feet are getting awful wet.
Don't worry, Harold. All you have to do now is knock on Dr. Furmish's door and ask for the part. And believe me, you'll be in.
I'm in now, Jill. All in. Nothing could be worth this. Except Peggy, I guess. Well, here goes.
Peggy, you haven't touched your dinner. You haven't eaten a thing.
I'm never going to eat anything again. Ever.
Well, why all the gloom, dear? Last night when Dr. Furmish asked you to resign from the part in favor of Caroline Burr, you were as happy as a lark.
I know.
Well, that's appreciation for you. Who thought up the whole idea?
You did, Daddy.
And who got you out of the part?
You did, Daddy.
Well, all right, then. What are you glaring at me for?
Because today I found out that Dr. Furmish put Harold into the play. Caroline Burr!
Oh, no.
I don't like to say it, Mortimer, but...
I told you so.
I know you meant well, Daddy, but...
Now,
please.
Going hungry won't help anything, Peggy.
I haven't time to eat anyway. Chester Chadwick's calling for me to take me to an early movie. If it's all right with you, Mother.
It's all right with me, if it's all right with you.
Well, I might as well. Harold won't be dating me for weeks. If ever.
Mm-hmm. Answer the phone, will you, Mortimer?
Oh, sure, Agatha, sure. I guess I can handle a job like that without messing it up. Hello? Hello? Well, that's funny. There's no one on the line.
Hang up, Mortimer.
That must be Chester trying to call.
Yes? Well, how do you know, Peggy?
Because he's late. Should have been here 15 minutes ago.
Oh, get it, will you, Mortimer?
Yeah, sure. Hello? Hello?
Nobody there?
Daddy Tobacco.
Now, that's the strangest thing.
You know that happened twice before dinner?
Did it, Mortimer?
I certainly can't understand why Chester's so late. Harold never used to be that way.
Oh, now, Peggy, please stop staring at me like that. I feel bad enough.
Oh, that's Chester now. I'll open it. Just a minute. Hello, Peggy.
Oh, Jill. Come on in. I thought it was Chester.
No, Chester isn't coming.
Well, how do you know?
He's rehearsing. Dr. Furmick put him back on the part of Romeo.
What do you mean? What happened to Harold?
He's sick and bad. I just came from his house.
Jill, what's wrong with him?
Laryngitis. From being out in the rain with bedroom slippers.
With what?
Yeah, he lost his voice. He sent me over to tell you. He's been calling and calling, but I guess he can't make himself heard.
Mother! Daddy! Did you hear that? Harold! Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful. Yes. Well, Agatha, as Shakespeare said himself, all's well that ends well. Yes.
With colder weather at hand, folks are coming to call more often. But don't worry too much. Even nature puts on her prettiest show long about now to give you ideas for color schemes and table decorations. And you know, All Sweet is so easy and convenient to color, you'll certainly want to tint it to a rich golden color to blend with your autumn table decorations, to add to your enjoyment of favorite fall foods. Of course, if you live in one of the many states whose laws permit the sale of colored margarine, you can buy yellow All Sweet in solid or quartered pounds. But whether you buy the regular white All Sweet or colored All Sweet, if you want an economical cooking aid and a delicious table spread that you can always depend on, ask for All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Yeah, here, Peggy, dear. I bought you a present to give to Harold because he's sick.
What is it, Daddy?
Yes, Mortimer, what is it?
Well, something he can treasure all of his life. And until he gets his voice back, you can read it to him, Peggy.
It's a book.
And what a book. A leather-bound, fully illustrated edition of... Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare and Mortimer Meade.
Meet the Meat, starring Forrest Lewis and Beryl Vaughn, is a Les Weinrot production. Today's script was written by Sherman Marks. Be sure to join us over these same stations next Saturday when All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor. Again, invite you to Meet the Meat. This is John Weigel speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.